No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on the second day of March 2020. I'm David Brown. Great to have you with us. Historically in Texas, more people vote early than on Election Day. And according to the Texas Tribune, which kept a running tally through Friday in the 10 largest counties in Texas, more Texans voted early this year than in the last presidential cycle. A total of 1,113,726 Texans casting ballots between February 18th and February 28th. That includes 691,000 Democrats and 421,000 Republicans. Now, once again, these are just the 10 largest counties, but they do account for 60% of the total number of registered voters. It's way too early to know the breakdown in smaller and more rural counties, but if you have not yet voted, you have one more day tomorrow, a day known nationwide as Super Tuesday. We just call it primary day here in Texas. Now, what might cause a voter to wait until the last possible day to cast a ballot? Well, one factor we are discovering is that among Texans who plan to vote in the Democratic primary, there are still plenty of them who still call themselves undecided. Now, if you're thinking that after all the debates, the ads on TV and online, the incessant robocalls, the text messages, there can't possibly be anyone left who's undecided, allow us to introduce you to a small sampling of people still trying to make up their minds about what they'll do when they cast their ballot in the presidential primaries tomorrow. Rachel Anthony lives in Plano, Texas. Rachel, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the Texas Standard. We have Rob Hughes, who is in Richardson, Texas. Rob, good morning.
Good morning.
And we have John Hawthorne Smith, who's come into the studio because he lives right here in the Texas capital city. Good to see you, John.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So the field of choices has gotten smaller. We have Pete Buttigieg, who has ended his campaign. So has Tom Steyer. This after Joe Biden pulled off a victory in South Carolina over the weekend. Let me ask you first, Rachel, does the narrowing of the field make any difference for you?
I feel like it makes it a little bit easier. I was leaning towards Buttigieg, but now that he is completely out, now it seems like it's just the top three between Warren, Biden, and Sanders.
Warren, Biden, and Sanders is what it comes down to. What about you, John? Where have you been in all this?
I started as a Warren supporter, but I'm definitely unsure at this point. So I think the winnowing of the field has helped, and I think that as we get closer, hopefully something will shift in the next 24 hours.
Rob, does any of this sound like the way you've been thinking about things, or have you been looking at it differently?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, my base calculation is who wins the general plus can boost down ballot candidates.
I want to pursue that just a little bit because, you know, Biden's victory on Saturday makes him the overall leader in the popular vote. That's 30,000 more votes than Bernie Sanders, although Sanders still leads Biden in the delegate count by 8. I want to stick with you for just a moment here, Rob, because I'm wondering what's you talk about that general election. As a Democratic voter, if you vote in the Democratic primary, I should say, is it more important that you vote for a candidate you think can beat Donald Trump in November, or is it about voting for a candidate who shares your view on the issues?
At this point, it's mainly about beating Trump.
So it doesn't matter if the person is, say, a little bit too far to the left for your liking, or what?
Well, that makes it a little bit tougher because policy is always extremely important to me. But right now, I look at what the administration is doing and has done, and I'm mostly at a point of step one, get them out, step two, figure out where to go from there.
So where does that leave you as you look toward pulling the lever in the voting booth tomorrow?
Right now, I'm going back and forth between Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden. I could vote for Sanders in the general, but there's a lot of things that I've seen in him over his congressional career that makes me think that he would not be worse for the country. But
when you say he, who are you referring to?
Sorry, Sanders.
Sanders, okay. All right.
Bernie Sanders. But my biggest concern with Bernie Sanders is that from what I've seen in the past, he will not be helpful down ballot.
Rachel, how do you see this? Is it more important picking someone who lines up with your values, or is it more important finding someone who can defeat Donald Trump?
Well, I think all the top three candidates, Warren, Biden, and Sanders, I do share similar interests and, you know, like their policies and platforms. Of course, Sanders is a little more to the left than how I view things. So I'm okay with their platforms and stuff. It is pretty much beating Donald Trump and taking back the White House, but I'm afraid with if Sanders does get the nomination, like Rob was saying, it's going to hurt down ballot Democrats. And, you know, it doesn't matter if we have someone as progressive as Sanders in the White House, if we can't get control of the House or the Senate or even both, I mean, what are we actually going to be able to accomplish to undo everything that Trump has put, you know, forth and passed when it comes to immigration and our clean air and clean water, that sort of thing. And so that's what worries me. I just want to put somebody in there that will maybe not be such a, I don't know, like have people make a knee-jerk reaction when they see, you know, Sanders, and they're just going to vote straight Republican ticket instead of actually, you know, looking at the down-ballot candidate.
John, does any of this sound familiar to your way of thinking?
It does. I'll answer the second one first, though. So I geek out on numbers. I get really excited to look at statistics and numbers and all of that. And the thing that is really that's really jumped out to me about Senator Sanders is almost all of his support is in urban areas. And if you look at Iowa and New Hampshire, he got whomped in rural areas. And if you see how successful he was in Nevada, it was all centered around urban areas. And every time we move out of a big city, he gets massacred. All of those votes went to Buttigieg and went to Klobuchar. And so what I look when I see that is that's great that he has such a strong base of support, but they're all in safe blue areas. And so can we run up the score there to supersede a lower turnout in rural areas? Possibly. But I also say that when you're playing for keeps, you shouldn't be risky.
Something that strikes me and something that a lot of progressives say is that if the status quo were acceptable, we would see the status quo running away with it right now. It's not happening. What we're seeing is actually a lot of people who seem to be saying, we need to do something that is really radical to change things if we intend to upend Donald Trump, given his support, his level of support. Does that ring true to either you, Rachel, or Rob? I mean, do you think that maybe there does need to be a break with the status quo in the Democratic Party?
I would think that if Sanders really wanted to change the status quo when it comes to the Democratic Party, he needs to be a Democrat. Him being an independent all these years in Vermont and then only being a Democrat when it comes to presidential runs, you know, he's just, if you want to change the system, you need to change the system from within and be a Democrat and change how we do things as Democrats, not come in as an outsider and try to upend us from the outside.
Rob, it sounds like the real factor here when it comes to being undecided heading into Super Tuesday largely comes down to the Sanders factor and what to do about it, given the fact that he's been so successful up to now. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, to a certain degree. So kind of jumping off from both of the other two, everybody talks about Sanders supporters as progressives, but here's the thing. I don't see them as progressive so much as kind of a regressive left, basically kind of the left-wing version of the Tea Party. And I know they keep saying that, oh, no, that's not what we all are what we are at all. But I see ideological purity tests. I see he's not progressive enough. I mean, it's the same kind of speech that we heard from the Tea Party going back to 2009.
That's the voice of Rob Hughes of Richardson. We also heard from John Hawthorne Smith of Austin and Rachel Anthony of Plano. All three are undecided on this day before Super Tuesday here in Texas. Folks, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out to explain your positions to listeners of the Texas Standard. We certainly do appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
All right.
Thank you.